criminal mafias that increasingly intermingle with political actors. Probably a foretaste of what will happen when the U.S. leaves Baghdad. Iran is meeting with the U.S. over Iraq. As long as we are talking, it's less likely we will attack them, but
that's why they want to take it away. Listen, Susan, not everyone knows what net neutrality is, and I've done shows on it, but I think you're right. It's about time I do another show on it. Basically,
this is the Quality News Network. South Korean officials say the Taliban has agreed to release the 19 hostages abducted 6 weeks ago in Afghanistan. The conditions of the release, the withdrawal of South Korean troops, and the discontinuation of missionary activities. After months of confrontation with the secular establishment, Turkey has elected a devout Muslim as president. The election of Abdullah Gül is seen as a victory for the Islamic-rooted government and comes a day after the military, which has thrown out four governments since 1960, issued a warning about the threat of secularism. In Afghanistan, the number of militant attacks are at their highest since the U.S.-led invasion began 5 years ago. In the past 48 hours, fighting between Taliban and NATO forces has resulted in the death of 8 soldiers, 6 of them from Western nations. 29 insurgents were also killed. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said a power vacuum is imminent in Iraq and that his country was ready to fill it. Ahmadinejad made the statements at a press conference where he also said, quote, the political power of the occupiers is collapsing rapidly, adding Iran would fill the gap with help from regional friends like Saudi Arabia. Heavy gunfire between Iraqi security forces and insurgents has forced the evacuation of hundreds of thousands of worshippers at a Shia festival in Karbala. At least 25 have been killed in violence near two of Shiite Islam's holiest shrines during the celebration to mark the birth of a 9th century imam. The UN says this year's poppy harvest in Afghanistan is the largest in history. More than 90% of the heroin in the world comes from Afghanistan. 33 Sunni fighters were killed by U.S. and Iraqi troops in a pre-dawn raid aimed at reopening an irrigation canal seized by insurgents. The assault captured weapons and explosives and reopened the spillway after militants shoveled dirt into the canal, blocking the flow of water to farmland. In Baghdad, a CBS News translator kidnapped a week ago has been found murdered. 152 members of the media have been killed in the Iraq War. In Greece, the death toll mounts in 89 fires, many of which have been sparked by arsonists. At least 63 people have been burned to death in the last 2 days. Firefighters throughout Europe have rushed to Greece to battle the fires and rescue victims. In Louisiana, a coalition of business and civic agencies have called for a nationwide march tomorrow to protest the lack of progress and the rebuilding of New Orleans 2 years after the devastating hurricane named Katrina. This is QNN.
Tired of all the griping? Got to get away from the propaganda of the left and the right? Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific right here on the Quality News Network for America Back on Track with me, your correspondent, Tony Seaton. We don't wallow in the dialectic between the donkeys and the elephants. America Back on Track rises above the fray, representing the people's right, the people's need to know. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network puts the news in context, delivers scintillating interviews and commentary, all part of a conversation with America. America Back on Track is for information-hungry Americans who know how vital it is to the health of the country that the citizens know the facts. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML 1410 AM in the Monterey area and streaming live online at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
The U.S. rates of obesity continue to rise. 31 states last year showed an increase. No state demonstrated a decrease. Topping the list of the significantly overweight is Mississippi, followed by West Virginia and Alabama. Colorado is the state with the fewest number of obese citizens. Scientists say ancient bacteria seem to be capable of thriving in frozen conditions for nearly 500,000 years. Their findings lend credence to the belief that the icy permafrost on Mars may sustain life. The Vatican has launched a special airline service devoted to Catholics on pilgrimage. Yesterday, the inaugural flight took passengers from Rome to Francis' Shrine of Lourdes. The airline is expected to serve at least 150,000 clients annually. Ohio is suing AIG and four other insurance companies, accusing them of price fixing, conspiracy, and other anti-competitive activities against Ohio businesses. Dubai World announced it will pay $5 billion to purchase a 9.5% share of casino MGM Mirage and half of City Center Hotels. Dubai's investment includes a portion of the multi-billion dollar Las Vegas City Center project scheduled to open in 2009. Light sweet crude is trading at $71.71 a barrel. Gold is trading at $675 an ounce. And on Wall Street, Dow Jones is down 106 points. The Nasdaq is down 30 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, good morning, everybody. Time to get the hell up with the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Wake up, 1-2-1-2, get up. It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. What's wrong with you? Why are you still in bed? The hell's the matter with you? Why I oughta? 10 o'clock here in Chicago, lovely, beautiful, hot Chicago. I was sweltering yesterday. We don't have any AC in the house, and we've gone through the summer for the most part without suffering, and I'm glad for that, without air conditioning. But, you know, the winter's coming on soon, and soon we'll be freezing our asses off. That's the thing about Chicago. Chicago gets the worst of it. Chicago gets really nasty hot weather, and then get really nasty cold weather. But there are the times in between, it can be really, really nice. It's wonderful. And Chicago, surprisingly enough, is among the greener cities in America. There are more trees in Chicago, I think, than in any other big city in the country. There are more parks in Chicago than in any other big city in the country. And it is a wonderfully beautiful city from the trees and all that stuff to the architecture and the beautiful, wonderful skyline. I love the handmade, human-made skyline. I know it doesn't last as long as, say, you know, the redwood trees and stuff like that, but it's taller and it's grander and it's spectacular, and I love being a part of that. Anyway, there's so many things to talk about. I was talking so much about, I was only talking a little bit about Alberto Gonzalez yesterday because that was the big news over the weekend. And quite frankly, yeah, he's gone. But what really has changed? All these people have left the Bush administration, and what really has changed? Not much, really. And you get Bush gives as who was it? Eric Alterman said that it was probably the dumbest speech ever given by an American president in the history of the country, with the Bush, you know, using the quote from The Quiet American, and here's the secret, I've never read The Quiet American, but apparently misquoting it, and also, you know, talking about how, you know, all the problems in Vietnam were caused because we left. That was where our problems were. Yeah, we left. And all that, you know, that stuff about if we don't fight them over there, or they'll fight us over here, that's a bunch of crap. It was crap when Lyndon Johnson said it. It's crap now. The Vietnamese didn't come over here in rowboats and invade the United States, for crying out loud. And if we leave Iraq, the Iraqis aren't going to get in a paddleboat and, you know, go across the Mediterranean Sea and cross the Atlantic Ocean and attack us, or maybe go east from there and go down the Red Sea and into the Pacific Ocean. They're not going to do that. What the hell are people thinking? All this stuff, you know, 9/11 changed everything. No, it didn't. 9/11 could have very easily been prevented if we had a group of people in charge of the government that, when presented with an important classified document saying, hey, this guy Bin Laden's determined to attack the U.S., didn't just go on vacation. When you want to combat something like terrorism, which isn't bound to a particular nation or particular country, the best way to deal with that is with intelligence. And when I say intelligence, I mean like espionage, that sort of thing. You know, infiltration. You attack it that way, and you just do preventative stuff. And you just keep them from doing this. Because quite frankly, a lot of these guys are a bunch of incompetent jerks to begin with. I mean, you know, you can't always credit them for being, you know, oh, my God, what a tremendous thing they did. Well, you know what? We allowed it to happen. And that's the stupid part. And, you know, for guys like Bush and for guys like Karl Rove and for Dick Cheney, it's all about power politics. It's really all about, you know, how can we turn this to our advantage? It's not about what's best for the country. It's not about what's best for the world. It's about what's best for their political ambitions. And how can they use that to get power? And again, as I've said dozens and dozens of times before, all they know how to do is get power, and the only thing they know how to do with it once they get it is to get more of it. And I really think that about sums it up. And there's no, you know, and they talk about hegemony of the United States. This is not an ideological hegemony. This is a corporate hegemony. This is all about corporate profits, corporate rights, the rights of people to make money. And you can look at that as pretty much every important issue in this country. The gun control issue. It's not about the right to bear arms. It's about the right to sell arms. Even the abortion issue, it's about the right to control people. It's about a group of sexless, overly ambitious, mostly white guys who think by some divine right they have the right to tell everybody else how to live their lives. You know, and I hate to be depressed about the world because there's so many wonderful things in the world. There's so many beautiful, wonderful things. There's so many great and wonderful people. And there have been throughout history. But the ones that really make the world stink are the ones who not only see themselves in such a selfish light in the terms of I want everything, but the ones who just simply believe that they're the only ones that have the right to even think that way. And that everybody else, it just exists basically to serve their interests. And you see it in the workplace every single day. Are you working for yourself? Are you working for your kids? Are you working for your present? Are you looking towards your future? No, you're struggling to get by, just like I'm struggling to get by. You know, and when I talk about stuff on the show, I talk about it from personal experience. When I talk about how tough it is to be a working person in America, I'm not talking from the point of view of some college guy who's never made less than $80,000 a year. I'm talking from the point of view of a guy who's never made more than about $25,000 a year. Never in my entire life have I made more than that. Or in that general area. I really don't keep track. You know, I think $13 an hour was the highest paying job I've ever had. And that wasn't necessarily full time. That was it. That's the highlight of my financial career, ladies and gentlemen. If you wonder why I'm in the mess I am, that's why. And you know, and I hear this all the time, and I'm looking for a better job because, you know, while my work is okay, it really doesn't pay the bills. $9.63 an hour does not cut it. I'm looking for a better job, and the problem I'm having is that everybody tells, well, it's not a problem, but everybody tells me, oh, Joe, you should be earning $50,000-$60,000 a year, and I keep, oh, that's wonderful. You know, find me somebody with the money that's going to pay me that. When I go to interviews for jobs like that, you know, they just look at me and say, what, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're lucky I don't call security on you. You know, unless you have some very specific skills, or unless you're much better at marketing. And here's the real crux of it. You know, I have a lot of trouble believing in myself right now. It's very hard to believe in yourself when you're sleeping on a damn air mattress and you have no furniture in your house, really. And when you're looking at, I've got $3 in the bank and I've got $2 in my PayPal account, and that's got to last me till next Friday, which is my next payday. Not this coming Friday, but next Friday, and I got new food in the house, and I'm wondering what I'm going to eat for the next 2 weeks, okay? It's very hard to believe in yourself when you have a situation like that. And so it's kind of a revolving door. It's kind of a vicious circle going down and down. Speaking of vicious circles, let's go ahead and take our first break of the night. I got really nothing in particular to talk about. I'm just going to be rambling on here for the next 45 minutes or so. So if you want to call in, 304-658-5453. or the toll-free number 877-443-2366. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
As I understand the conflict right now between the President's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the President is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, let's dance, as the song says. My name is Joe Vecchio, and this is the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and I am the voice of the working man's thinking man. I am the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker and anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Hey, once again, the number to call in, 304-658-5453, if you've got free cell phone minutes or one of those free long distance plans, please use that to call. If not, and you want to call our toll-free number, the toll-free number is 1-877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. And you can always come to the Head On Radio Network chat room by going to headonradionetwork.com, which, by the way, if you're not listening on iTunes, is where you can stream this live. And you can click on the live chat button there or the chat room button, and that will get you in to talk to some of the smartest people on the internet in our
chat room, and we talk, you know, and I get in there, and I'll make a comment from time to time, and I keep an eye on what's going on. So if you ever say something, I just might say something about what you wrote in there, if you go in there. I just might. And then you can go and brag about it to your colleagues in the office, and they'll say, get back to work. I was watching yesterday while I was sending out resumes. Every now and then I was looking at the news and the New York Times website. I still read the New York Times, even though I don't bother with a lot of their punditry stuff anymore, except for Paul Krugman and Frank Rich pretty much are the only guys that I read as far as that's concerned. But I was just watching the stock market plunge down 280 points, and I thought to myself, as I always think when I see it go crazy like that, I said, does it make any difference in my life? Does it make any difference in your life, ladies and gentlemen? Who does that affect? Who is it for? It's for a few people trading money around. It's for a few people who make a lot of money by moving numbers from one column into another column. They don't produce anything. They don't do anything. And they're completely irrelevant in our lives. But it goes up and down. And it goes up and down on the drop of a hat. Someone says, oh, my God, me. Sell. And all of a sudden it goes... It's like that movie with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd, Trading Places. You know, I was talking with Bob Kincaid about that before the show. Yeah, it's just like that. You know, you get a couple of guys in there, start a panic, and everything goes... Whoa! And what effect does it have on us? Nothing. Still got to go to work every day, don't you? You still got your piece of crap job for a piece of crap money, praying that it doesn't get your company... It doesn't get pulled off to some other place. And again, I don't want to try to depress everybody. It's really not my deal to depress everybody, because it can be such a wonderful world, and it would be so much of a better world if we had better leaders. It's the leaders that mess us up more than anything else. It's the leaders that get us to do dumb things like go to war. What was it that, I keep thinking Goebbels, but it wasn't Goebbels. Goering. From, the Nazi regime, the head of the Luftwaffe, when he was on trial, he was talking to a reporter, and he's basically saying, listen, nobody wants to go to war. Certainly the general public doesn't want to go to war, but it's up to the leaders to make them do that. And it's real easy. All you gotta do is, you know, tell them they've been attacked. And then denounce the pacifists as traitors, and you can move on. And that's exactly what happened in this country. He said that works in any kind of government, whether it be a communist dictatorship, a fascist government, or a democracy, a liberal democracy. It doesn't really matter. And he was absolutely right. It's easy to sucker people. And, you know, all you need is a big event. For the Nazis, it was the Reichstag burning down. For those of you who aren't familiar with that little tidbit of history, the Reichstag is the German... Say like their Congress building, like their House of Congress, and it burned down, and Hitler blamed the terrorists, he blamed the Poles, he blamed the Jews, he blamed this and that and this and that, and he uses an excuse to grab more power. Now you got to understand, a lot of people when they watch these history shows, it always makes it seem like, you know, something happened, you know, everything in Germany happened like immediately. One day it was nice and pleasant Germany, and the next day it was Nazism. This happened slowly over the course of many years. The Nazi Party rose in the 20s. And didn't really attain power until the late 30s, mid to late 30s. So it took time, and just like it's taken time for the our current group of corporatists, which is what Mussolini said fascism should be called, it's taken that time for them to get to this point. It didn't happen overnight in this country. And, you know, but once they got to that point, then they could start saying, well, you know, And then September 11 came along, and, you know, and here's George Bush. Oh, we're going to get no guy. We're going to get him. Yes, sir. We're a tough guy. We can take anybody out. Bring him on. Now he's talking about Iran. He's reading Glenn Greenwald's column this morning, and Bush is really ratcheting up the rhetoric. Nuclear holocaust was what he's talking about with Iran, or at least that's what Iran is threatening us with. Nuclear holocaust. Are you kidding me? Does he think for a minute that the Iranian government would be stupid enough to launch a nuclear missile on anybody, knowing we could turn their entire country into glass? Iran is not threatening us. They may not like us very much, but I don't think there's anything that says anywhere that we have to be liked. Iran is no threat to us. There's only one justification for going to war, and that's when you have absolutely no other choice because somebody is attacking you. Self-defense. That's the only reason. And they like to say, well, this is preemptive to prevent this. That's a bunch of crap, and everybody knows it. It was crap when they talked about it with Iraq. It's crap when they talk about it with Iran. The threat simply doesn't exist. It's like the domino theory in communism. The threat simply did not exist. What it was about a bunch of people who, when they were first isolationists, realized how much money you could be making on war and want to drive an economy based on war and based on consumption and on conspicuous consumption, I might add. And it's the leaders that bring us to this point. And for the most part, we go along with it because, mainly we want to survive. We don't want to be homeless. We want to have our jobs. We want to earn a living. We're not fools. We have a work ethic in this country, but it's kind of a deranged work ethic. There's a lot of people in this country who just simply think you should work till you die, and that any kind of vacation, any kind of time off, what's wrong with you? Why, your company is losing billions of dollars because you're not there stapling documents together. What's wrong with you? I keep doing Kevin Meaney, and I really should stop doing that. But, he's just so funny when he spoke like that. What's the matter with you? You can put your brother's eye out with that bill. What's wrong with you? And people just... And people got their own stuff in their lives to worry about, which is why a lot of these things happen. It doesn't happen because people are actively wanting the government to do this stuff. It happens because people say, well, government really doesn't matter, or, I've got my own stuff to worry about, so I'm not really concerned with politics. Politics is just politics. It doesn't matter, make a difference to me. Bull! Politics makes a difference to everybody. And if the country's tarted, it's partly tarted because we've had 30 years of propaganda being fed to us through the radio, into our workplaces, into our cars, every single frickin' day, in every little hick town across the country, in every big city across the country. I love what Air America Radio is doing, but guess what? They're not out there in the boondocks where they need to be. They need to start buying radio stations, which is what the right wing did. Buy the radio stations. And then hire people and fire people based upon political ideology. That's what the right wing does. And we need to reverse that. We need to get that propaganda off. First of all, we need to bring in the fairness doctrine. Actually, I personally would like to start pulling the license of some of these stations, just as an example, to shut them down, take them off the air. Because, what they're doing is bad for America and bad for the world. What they're doing leads to Iraq. Aaron, when Bush got into office, and I will never say he got elected because as far as I'm concerned, he was never elected. When Bush first got into office, the Onion newspaper, which is one of the best newspapers in the country for it being a parody newspaper, just like the Daily Show is one of the best TV news shows for being a parody news show, the Onion said, the headline was, "Our long national nightmare of peace and prosperity is now over." And one of the quotes, I think, had something to do with, well, the Republicans are in charge. You can bet we're going to be at war with somebody over the next 4 years, and dang if they weren't right. Dang if there wasn't a ray of truth in that. Hey, it's a little early. It's the bottom of the hour. Let's go and get the wind's news going, and then I'll be back to talk more stuff. If you want to call in, 304-658-5453. 304-658-5453. Keep me from rambling, which is what I'm doing today. But it's toll free, 877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Hundreds of workers joined by celebrities and a variety of social change organizations are bringing petitions to Smithfield Foods shareholders meeting today. They're asking to meet with the company to work out a fair process to let workers choose whether or not they want a union. Terry Slaughter is a worker at Smithfield's Tar Heel, North Carolina hog processing plant.
We just want to be heard. We really want to actually talk to these people. We want to get into a conversation where we can actually tell them what we feel and how it goes on. Because right now, they're not even trying to hear us. They really don't care about the workers who are taking the money for them. These people out there are killing themselves for Smithfield, and they're getting nothing in return.
Smithfield has a history of breaking labor law in previous union elections. The U.S. Census Bureau is out with a new report on poverty that shows 12.3% of Americans, 36.5 million people, are suffering in poverty. Father Larry Snyder, president of Catholic Charities USA, says the U.S. has the resources to end poverty, but so far the government doesn't have the political will to do it. Father Snyder says reforms are needed in labor and economic policies to fight poverty.
And that's where we need to correct the system, to make sure that everyone is benefiting from our economic policies here. Ultimately, it's about building a nation where the American dream is still a reality and not just a myth.
A new report from the U.S. Department of Health brings more bad news for workers who responded to the World Trade Center collapse on September 11, 2001. Jesse Russell looks at the findings.
Of the 25,000 rescue and recovery workers enrolled in the World Trade Center Health Registry, 3.6% have reported developing asthma. The report finds that the sooner and longer an individual worked at the World Trade Center, the more likely they are to develop asthma. Part of the reason is respiratory use. While usage increased as the rescue and recovery effort became organized, the first responders worked without respirators. The health registry was put together in 2003 to track the health of those who were exposed during and after the collapse.
An Australian auto parts maker that supplies to Ford is in the midst of a costly strike. More than 200 workers for Venture Industries walked off the job last week, seeking $25 million in legally required compensation called redundancy entitlements. Venture supplies dashboards and other parts to Ford, and the walkout has had a ripple effect. The automaker has sent home nearly 2,000 assembly line workers without pay as they wait for Venture to begin production again. Ford says the strike is costing more than $9 million a day. Ford has asked the government to order the Venture workers back to work, but the union representing those workers says they have the right to and should defend their contractually required payments, which range from 4 weeks to 16 weeks of severance when workers lose their jobs. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here with the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm not the humble host, Joe Vecchio. Yeah, yada, 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 yada. Just pissed off today and tired and grumpy. Hate being grumpy. Grumpy, grouchy, crotchety. I've been filling out resumes and already sending out resumes to, you know, places like Monster and CareerBuilder.com and all these different places. Craigslist. Trying to get something better for myself. Trying to get a job where every 2 weeks I don't get a check for like $350, $400, which doesn't even cover my bills and rent.
And what happens, of course, while I was doing that last segment, I got a spam from a resume blaster company. Oh, we'll help you send your resume out first. Hey, send money. Everybody's got their damn hands out these days. Isn't that annoying? I mean, it's bad enough to see an advertising every single where you go in this country. It's bad enough you see that, but you can't even do anything now without somebody with their hands out. And I see it all the time on the left, too. I mean, even I do it. You know, I need help. I need support. Some of these guys, I wonder where the money goes to, and I'm not going to talk about specifics, but still. And on the left, you know, when you want to help the left out, and I've discussed this time and time again, if you want to help the left out, they expect you to volunteer your time, they expect you to donate your money. They just expect you to do all of it for nothing. Well, we'll give you an internship. You can volunteer. Yeah, but it's doing it for the cause. It's important for the cause. Well, you know, my cause is I got to eat. That's my cause. What are you doing to help me out? What are you doing to keep me armed so that I can fight these fights? And then when we do get somebody, and it's happened before, I've got personal experience with it, with people who give these same arguments that I do, and then something happens, they run into a lot of money, and guess what? They're gone. You don't see or hear from them ever again. Will that happen to me? I doubt it. I'd still be doing this radio show. I wouldn't be doing much else if I hit the lottery. Of course, I got to play the lottery. That would help out. Was it the old joke about the guy who prayed every night to win the lottery? Please, God, help me win the lottery. And every night. And finally, God, you know, came to him and said, listen, meet me halfway. Buy a ticket. God's going to slide the lottery ticket under his door while he's asleep. And I'm just trying not to be, you know, and again, I'm in one of those days. Yesterday was such a really good show. Everything was flowing smoothly, and I had a lot to talk about. And then today it's just kind of like, well, I'm just going to ramble here for a little while. Just try to talk about some things that are going on. And there's lots of stuff going on, but it just seems redundant all the time, you know. And I have this problem with my blog. The reason why I don't post on my blog, and I'm not even going to give the address anymore because it doesn't really matter. A lot of times in my blog, I'll sit there and I'll write something, and I say, you know, six people have already written about this much better than I have. So you know, what am I adding to it? And that's just the thing about the blogosphere. And we've talked about this before, too. These guys asking for all this money. And the blogosphere, while it's done some wonderful things, it just raised over $100,000 for a Democratic candidate out in Seattle, in Washington somewhere, in counter to, you know, George Bush going there and raising a whole bunch of money for their guy. And it's really wonderful that they do that. And, you know, and it's the amount of the donations, it's the amount of people who are giving donations and the relatively small amount of the donations themselves. The average is around $40. A couple of really big ones for the most part, though, everybody's given small amounts, which is really the way you should be raising money. The problem is, where is that money going? I mean, I'm not saying the candidate's going to pocket it. What I'm saying is she's going to spend this money on, you know, TV ads. Primarily, because that's the biggest cost, TV ads and things like that. That's the biggest expense of any campaign. And so it goes into the pockets of people who, you know, will turn around and tell us what a bunch of idiots we Democrats are because we're Democrats. So as much as I admire the work that's being done by these left-wing organizations, the things that we need are still infrastructure. Rumsfeld is gone. Alberto Gonzalez is gone. Karl Rove is gone or will be gone shortly. But you know what? Nothing changes because they've got the machine still there. It's still there and it's still pumping out lies every single day. And there's still idiots who are believing it. No matter, you know, and there are some people who are going to believe anything they're told. If Rush Limbaugh got out there and told everybody that the sky is red, they go, oh, yeah, I'm red. Oh, you tell him, Rush, ditto. there's still going to be, you know, a certain amount of people. And you know, and if you look at what's going on in politics today, you look at the fact that we have a president who has maybe, what, a 25-28% approval rating? That's really about as low as you can conceivably get, because there's always going to be a core amount of people who, like I said, are going to support you anyway. I mean, just because you're a Republican or something like that, right? So he's down to pretty much, you know, the core group of people. And even with all of that, our Democratic leaders don't have the cojones to confront him. And what is that saying? And the congressional approval rating is down through the toilet, and it's worse than the president's, mainly because they're not doing their job and fighting the guy. They're not providing any checks and balances. And even in the midst of all this, they're giving him more power to spy on us and to do things for us. And what does that say about our leadership? What does that say about why are we donating money to these people? They say more, you know, more and better Democrats, but I've yet to see an example of that. And of course, those of you who listen to my show know how I feel. Give me my baseball bat and start, you know, cracking skulls. You know, I'm pretty much a hardcore militant as far as that's concerned. And I was saying on the show yesterday, you want to make a dent, and you know, and you know, people do all these, you know, goofy little things like that enough thing. Stand on the corner and yell enough at a certain time, at a certain day. Ah, yeah, that'll change the friggin' world. My thing is, look, go on strike for a month, okay? Just drop everything. Take a month off. Don't even pay your rent. Just refuse to pay your bills. If you're gonna buy anything, buy food. Buy it from local grocers if at all possible. Turn off your cell phone. Don't watch the TV. Walk around your neighborhood. Get to know your neighbors. Sit on your front porch if you have one. Shut the country down. You can do it. If we all got together, we can do it. But it's not going to happen. Oh, yes, I gotta watch 24 tonight. If I don't watch 24, I'll never be able to live it down. Shut it down. Shut it off. Shut the country down for a month. Don't even make any demands. Just do it to show them who makes the real money in this country. It's you. You're the motor of the world. And you don't understand that, because you've been lied to, you've been propagandized to for over 30 years. Some of you, since you were born, you have no idea, because you've been told the same thing over and over again. Oh, ragged individuals, they pull you up by your own bootstraps. Hey, is that a permanent utopia? Ah! It's a bunch of crap. And it's being told to you by people who are stealing from you. They steal your money and they steal your time. They steal your lives. They'd sell your soul to the devil if they knew how to get a profit from it. If there was a devil, and if he was in the business of purchasing souls. And in talking to my good friend Bruce Lewis on my blog, who comments occasionally, talking about, you know, what's important is that we all care about each other and love each other. Well, but yeah, that's a wonderful sentiment. But you know what? There are still a group of people who are going to do everything they can to try to rob every penny that you've got. And I say rob, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, literally going into your house and stealing it. But they'll try to find a way of making you work harder and harder for less and less money so that they can work less and less for more and more money. You see what I'm saying? And there's those group of people who are always going to do that. And we're not going to be able to fight them if all we're worried about is ourselves and our immediate situation. We have to recognize and we have to understand that we belong to a part of a larger community. That's part of what liberalism is all about. Recognizing that there is something that is greater than just yourself, greater than just your local community. Although obviously your local community and you individually are part of that, you're still part of something. And you have to realize and recognize what your role is in that larger community, in that larger group. And when we talk about paying taxes, I talk about taxes like they're an investment. You want to argue about, you know, how much someone's paying, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, that's fine. You can have the discussion about, you know, progressive tax rates and who should get taxed and who shouldn't get taxed or how much and things like that. And that's, you know, that's always, you know, good argument. Good, you know, that's always fodder for discussion. But for a lot on the right wing, they don't believe in any taxes, or at the very least, they don't believe in any taxes for a certain group of people. And you're working, for the most part, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea. You are working. If you're a working class person making, you know, less than $30,000 a year, your taxes are helping to support the upper 5% of this country who have absolutely no need of it. And then they sit there and tell you that you're being lazy. Is your purpose in life to just sit there and work till you die so that somebody else can have a lot more money? And you know what? The people with all the money are still miserable. I've very rarely met anybody I haven't met anybody, very many people that are that rich to begin with, but being rich doesn't necessarily make you happy. It just means you get to eat out more, that's all. And you live in a nicer house and you drive a nicer car. Big, fat, hairy deal. Last break coming up. Last chance to call in. 304-658-5453-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Do, 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 do.
Ah, yes.
Sounds nice. I like that song.
Anyway, is today really the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina? I'm not really sure. That's how out of touch I am. Now, is this true? Now, ELO is saying she just made that up. But our good friend Ray Hinckley. No, okay, never mind. Ray didn't say that. No, Ray did say that. This Hurricane Katrina. Is it apparently, did Laura Bush really say that? Did it fill me in? Was that just something you guys just made up? I wouldn't put it past them. They really don't care. You know what? Here's the deal with that. And it was so obvious also. Again, it's just the way they are with these people. Basically, they looked at it and said, well, we killed a whole bunch of brown people. We got to redistrict New Orleans. And, it was God's will. How is it that one congressman said, we couldn't redistrict New Orleans, but God redistricted it for us. And, the same type of people who laugh when a homeless guy freezes to death, the homeless person freezes to death in the winter in some city, are the same people who laughed at the poor sick folks who were too old or too sick to be able to leave when the hurricane came, and who were basically left to die by a bunch of people who really would rather they just die. Because, all those people are a drain. What is the term that the objectivists use? Useless eaters? Is that an objectivist term? Useless eaters? That's all they are to them. If you're old and sick, you're not providing money for our pockets, so therefore you're useless. And 2 years later, still a lot of work needs to be done in New Orleans, but they don't care. You understand? They don't care. They're talking about protest marching. All the protest marching in the world isn't going to do anything. And what I'd really love to see, if we were really going to punish these SOBs, these sons of bitches, if we were going to really punish them, we ought to force them to live in a FEMA trailer in the middle of the Louisiana summer with no water and no electricity. Or let them have a little pump out in the back that they have to go outside for. Let them live like some of these people had to live. Oh, let's go to the phones where our good friend Sue from Ohio wants to talk about this issue. Go ahead, Sue. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Joe. Yeah, I was the one that put that up in the chat room about Laura Bush spending the morning reminiscing about Hurricane Katrina.
Okay,
and
yeah, then you said you
spent the morning thinking about how well it worked out. Well, Laura Bush actually did. She was interviewed like just days after Hurricane Katrina had come through. I think she was on Good Morning America or something like that, and she just kept going on about Hurricane Katrina. Katrina. And when I
nobody
when
bothered
I
to correct her.
That, pardon me.
Nobody bothered to correct her, huh?
Well,
nobody on the TV show she was being interviewed on bothered to say, "You mean Hurricane Katrina?"
Yeah. Well, and that was the whole thing. No one ever said, no one ever stopped her. And it's just amazing. Not only do they kiss her husband's fanny, they kiss hers too. And then her mother-in-law, after all those people had made it to the Houston Astrodome, the ones that didn't die, the ones that weren't left to die, Babs Bush was sitting there in the Astrodome giving an interview, and she said, well, most of these people here, they were impoverished anyway, so it's worked out well for them.
Honestly, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so it was my attempt at sarcasm and that, but it really, really was said. But no, they did not spend their mornings that way. But like I said, I honestly can't believe that time has changed their opinions of anything. I'm probably pretty sure Laura Bush is still pretty proud of that interview she gave following Katrina.
Well, she's a good little step.
And
Babs
Bush, Babs Bush is probably still pretty happy that all those people made it to the Astrodome.
Sure. And George W. Bush did play guitar, just like Nero fiddling while Rome burned, as the legend went. Bush was out there. And he had what I thought was a picture of him with McCain and his big old birthday cake of some sort. You know, yeah, that, you know, that's all they care about. You know,
right.
Themselves.
Yep. So I just wanted to call in and share that with you real quick.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Sue. I appreciate
great
that.
Great show, Joe.
No problem. No problem. But, you know, to say they're insensitive is being kind. They don't care. We're not human beings to them. We're not human beings. And they are being aided and abetted by a professional media that's more concerned with their own ambitions and with their own little world than they are with doing the job they're supposed to do, which is reporting the corruption. This is probably the most corrupt administration there's ever been, and they've got a lot to work on. The last three Republican administrations have been pretty lousy. Actually, the last four: Nixon, Reagan, Bush, and then Bush. And it's gotten progressively worse. The first Bush was only around for 4 years, so there was only a limited amount of damage that he can do. But it just goes to show how incompetent he was and how hated he was, that even after his 90% approval rating after the Kuwait War, the Iraq War, the Gulf War, he couldn't hang on to that. And we had, you know, when George W. Bush's approval rating was up in the upper 80s and 90s. And now it's what, 28-29%? It's because of what he did with it. And I still get people who talk about, you know, the bombs in the Trade Center, remote control planes. And I said, look, damn it, stop that. Yeah, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. It really doesn't matter. Everything they did after 9/11 is certainly enough to get them, you know, out of office, thrown in jail, and maybe even executed. Because, you know, declaring war against somebody that is not a threat to you is a war crime. Destroying the city of Fallujah because a few idiot mercs went in there showing off their guns and got killed and strung up on a bridge is a war crime. And these people are all guilty. Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld in particular, the ringleaders. Rove, too. And if it ever gets to that point, I would like to see not just them in the docket, but half the people who run Fox News and who work on Fox News, all the talk radio guys, Rush, Hannity, Bortz, all of these guys, they ought to be in the docket right there because they're part of it. They're a cause of it. Just like what's his name, who wrote Der Sturm, the newspaper that was heavily Nazi. The guy got put in trial and executed, man, because he was abetting it. And for those in the professional media who weren't really pushing it, but who were just kind of, you know, too lazy to do their real jobs, they ought to just be fired. They ought to have no business being in journalism in any way, shape, or form. No business at all. Anyway, we're just running out of time here. Let's go ahead and close it out. The Cup of Joe radio show today, and, you know, like I said, just mostly me rambling. Thanks to Sue for calling in, by the way, and filling me in on that stuff. The Cup of Joe radio show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network, our good friend and my boss, Bob Kincaid, running the show from the studios out there in West Virginia, and one of the fattest states in the country now, Bob. You happy now? You have enough grits? I love Southern food, so. The Cup of Joe radio show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news, especially when concerning Katrina. You can listen to the archives if you happen to miss this show. You can listen to the archives of the Cup of Joe radio show on the White Rose Society, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Our good friend Ben Birch hosting the archives of my show and every other show on the Head On Radio Network there. And America Back on Track with Tony Seaton follows on all of your head-on radio network stations. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, saying, hey, 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 get back to work.
a jar of John. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. And return to the carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. South Korean officials say the Taliban has agreed to release the 19 hostages abducted 6 weeks ago in Afghanistan. The conditions of the release, the withdrawal of South Korean troops, and the discontinuation of missionary activities. After months of confrontation with the secular establishment, Turkey has elected a devout Muslim as president. The election of Abdullah Gül is seen as a victory for the Islamic-rooted government and comes a day after the military, which has thrown out four governments since 1960, issued a warning about the threat of secularism. In Afghanistan, the number of militant attacks are at their highest since the U.S.-led invasion began 5 years ago. In the past 48 hours, fighting between Taliban and NATO forces has resulted in the death of 8 soldiers, 6 of them from Western nations. 29 insurgents were also killed. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said a power vacuum is imminent in Iraq and that his country was ready to fill it. Ahmadinejad made the statement at a press conference where he also said, quote, the political power of the occupiers is collapsing rapidly, adding Iran would fill the gap with help from regional friends like Saudi Arabia. Heavy gunfire between Iraqi security forces and insurgents has forced the evacuation of hundreds of thousands of worshippers at a Shia festival in Karbala. At least 25 have been killed in violence near two of Shiite Islam's holiest shrines during the celebration to mark the birth of a 9th century imam. The UN says this year's poppy harvest in Afghanistan is the largest in history. More than 90% of the heroin in the world comes from Afghanistan. 33 Sunni fighters were killed by U.S. and Iraqi troops in a pre-dawn raid aimed at reopening an area.